Good evening, everybody.
We
are going to talk tonight Parashat Tazria and also a little for on the Seder night, because normally every year we do it too late.
Yeah.
So all the ideas and preparation are, let's say, at the last minute, and it's too difficult. So this year I decided to do it a little earlier. So if anybody wants to do some of the things, you have time to do it. And our parasha, of course, is also connection to this thing. The parasha starts, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, daber ebnei Yisrael le'emor, isha ki tazriya." Ki tazriya is from Lashon Zera. And one of the first questions that are being asked, why did the Torah use... It's not so nice to say Isha ki tazriya ve'yalda zahar. A woman to conceive and have a, you know,
contaminated.
Yes, it's. You can say, like, if you look at the next to psukim, it's written. 1 minute. In pasuk, 5 is written ve'im nekeva teled. Oh, this sounds much better. Giving birth. Why do you have to say like Isha ki tazriya? It doesn't sound so clean. It's not. And then also very interesting, Isha ki tazriya ve'yalda zachar. Isha ki tazriya is in future. Ve'yalda is past. Or in other words, what he's telling us, Isha ki tazriya ve'yalda affect. It's going to be a boy. Well, how do you know? And when you talk about a girl. Ve'im nekevat eled, and if it will going to be a female. Why? Here it's if, maybe, and here it's like a statement. Understand the question?
Yeah. It's one is more of a positive thing and more is...
Yes, it's not only more, it's positive. It says an effect. That's what's going to happen. Or Chaim HaKadosh discussed this point, and he says quite a few interesting things. But we look at one of the point of views that is really trying to teach us a very important thing. Tazria is milshon zera. Zera is a seed. You put a seed in earth, and a tree grows. In other words, this is a miracle. A big miracle. It's just not just ishat ki teled, and a woman will give birth. Wow, it's not. It comes from a small seed that is nothing, and from this small seed, a human being grows. A miracle. The same way that when you put a seed in earth, and after time grows a plant, a tree, and fruits. And we look at all those things like, okay, that's normal. What's normal about it? You know, the seed gets rotten. And then it grows to a tree. Normally, if something gets rotten, it, what is it? The end. That's it. Finished. Such a big miracle. So the Torah wants to make sure that we understand the miracle about giving birth. So the first thing, you give birth, but how? What happened before? Isha ki tazriya. A small seed. And from this small seed, this big miracle happens. But there is another thing. Why is it in future and past? Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Isha ki tazriya ve'yalda zachar. That the fact, what it's going to be, a male or a female, a zachar or nekeva, is already established in the minute that the seed comes out. Or more like, if it's the woman that sends the seed, her, I don't know how you call it in English, her eggs, they call it in English?
Eggs.
Eggs first, so it's going to be what?
Female.
No, a male.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah. The female has the power of the male, and the male has the power of the female. It's a very interesting point. In other words, if the woman is the first, it's going to be a male. If the man is the first, it's going to be a female. So that's what's written here. Isha ki tazriya, the woman will conceive. Then what's going to be? Zachar. Vialda zachar. But there is also a more important thing here that talks about everything. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that the thoughts in the beginning of the act have a great influence in what's going to be the result. In other words, if you do this from a point of view of an animal, of lust and desire physically, it's no good. You have to do this with pure thoughts. And when you do this with pure thoughts, the result is going to be good also. In other words, Sof ma'aseh v'machshava tchila. The end of what you do starts with a thought. And if there is no thought, there is no deed. Everything starts with a thought. You think about it, and then you do it. And if you don't think about it, you don't do it. Because in order to make a movement, the mind has to give a command to the body to do it. The mind is your thoughts. And by the way, if you do think without thinking, this is worse than an animal. And we all know sometimes the results when we do things without thinking. But normally, we think before we do. Now, if we think good, it's going to be good. If we think bad, it's going to be bad. So the Torah is telling us, Isha ki tazriya, that's the beginning. If the beginning is good, the end will be good. In other words, it's very important how we do the beginning, how we start things. Or, it's also very important, the preparation before we do something.
So are you telling me, in a case where a woman is raped, and then is impregnated.
Yes.
So the it's result no good. Is going to be bad?
Yes. Yes.
So we are...
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are we saying? That the child coming into the world is going to be bad?
No. He says he will have to fight and do... It's going to be harder for him. It's the same way, think about it. By the way, it's not only... when you start the procedure, also through the procedure, when a woman is pregnant, she should look after herself. Not eat everything, not smoke, of course not take drugs, and whatever you do has got an influence on the baby. Exactly. Because we understand and realize, and that's fact, that's a scientific fact, that everything you do during the pregnancy has got an influence on your baby. The same thing is if you go backwards, the thoughts and the act itself. It's also got an influence on what's on the results. Now, it doesn't say, or it doesn't mean that, okay, I am an evil guy because my father, when he did me and my mother, they thought bad thoughts, so I'm a bad guy. That's no excuse. Because you have a free will to decide and to do good. But we want for our kids the best. So you have to understand and realize whatever you do, it's got an influence. If you raise a kid in a good environment, you have good results. If you raise a kid in a bad environment, you have bad results. But it doesn't mean that the kid can raise his up in there and says, okay, that's life. You have to fight against it. And God gives you power. But we can make it much better. Why to get to this point that it's difficult? Let's make it easier. So how do we make it easier? If we do things in the proper way. The whole idea of, marriage in Judaism is different. We are not like the goyim. We're not getting married because the woman or the man are beautiful, are handsome, and what the only thing we want is to satisfy our desires, our beastly desires. We have it, but that's not the main thing we want. We want to raise up kids in a proper way to have a Jewish home. You know what? I have to read you something. The Rav Adam Sinai, unbelievable thing. It changed my whole point of view of how do you say zugiyut in English? Couple, how do you say? What's the word for zugiyut? Being together. How do you call it? How do you say it in English?
No, not
by being a couple. How do you call it? Zugiyut. That's what it's not. Okay, in Hebrew you have a nice name, zugiyut. Okay, in English there is no name. I want to read you an interesting session about being a couple. You know, I'm writing it also in the Dvar Torah on Shabbos. It's very interesting. You know, people think that in Judaism, the Torah and the Halacha put the woman down and the man is on top. And he's so wrong and not right. And let's listen to this. This Rav is also a consultant for marriage.
Who is it?
Rav Adam Sinai. He teaches Kabbalah and other things. And very interesting. He gives now an episode from a treatment he is giving to a couple. He says, Dani Vedina, nisu lanot al shirati. Dani Vedina, try to answer my question. What is the thing, in your opinion, that make the conflicts between you and the reason that you came to get a consultant? Dina, the woman. My husband flies around. Without me, he's nothing. He got into debt, and only when I got into the business, we succeeded a little to raise up our heads. And Baruch Hashem, today, the business is also making money, and he doesn't listen to me. And again, he starts to do those things that caused all the problem in the beginning. And the business is going to collapse. Danny smiles, shamefully so, and a little embarrassed. And he says, what can I say? Really, my wife is an unbelievable wife. Unbelievable woman. Really. She took the business and raised it up. She is a woman that knows how to do things. But from the moment she got into the business, we've got no friends. Everybody hates us. Once came a friend, old friend, from my childhood, came to the business, and this moment, Dina, the wife, is cutting into the conversation and saying, this is a friend. He owes you money, he comes for more. Dani goes on talking. She's thrown from the office. This is a friend I know for many years. Childhood friend. She threw him from the office. How can you behave like this? Is this a way? Can't we do it differently? Dina again goes into his words. With friends like this, you don't need enemies. You know this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You let everybody to use you. Know this?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar? Yes, it happens everywhere. You want the business again to lose? And this is the way the conversation was going on. Okay. I think this conversation, here and there, we all went through it.
Yes.
It can be in all different episodes in life, but that is being a couple. And he says an unbelievable thing now. He says, first of all, I want to share with you a way to look at this couple and other couples and in life. First of all, everybody, each one of the couple should accept on himself that seeing things together is much better than seeing them one side. In other words, looking at things with both persons involved is much better than looking at it separately. Love has got in it how do you say, an eye of together, like me, not by myself, me with another me. In other words, two individuals together make a much greater more me. Not less, more me. In other words, my private me, it's much less than both our me's. Three. If I force my spouse to think like me, I will lose a greater thing. When I agree to combine the thoughts of my thoughts and her thoughts, my being will be much greater. Instead of seeing the differences as a source for fighting, I should look at them as a source to fulfill and to greatness. This is unbelievable. The different in opinion should not be a minus, should be a plus. Because we look at things in a different way. Listen to the opinion of your other side, and this will take you out from the narrow-minded that you are right now. There is no love without a mutual me.
It's true.
And it's much greater than a private me. And I think those things are so unbelievably true. You cannot make love exist by controlling the mind or the feeling of the other side. Only when you are together with a mutual thought and emotions, then you can keep love. Each one of the couples should take his expertise of seeing all the faults in the other side and look at the right, in a right way and the truth way that isn't in it. Doing things together with your thoughts and mind will make your conflicts, your being together, much greater. I'm sorry I cannot use all those nice words he's using here in Hebrew because my English is not so good. But I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
Usually, all the fights come from disrespect for the privacy of your spouse. Not only that you're allowed, every side has to think and feel independently. Otherwise, it's got nothing to contribute to the togetherness. Giving up on your thoughts, on your personal individual thought, doesn't give anything to together, but disturbs it. When one side doesn't respect the privacy of the other side, he is canceling the possibility to choose, and love without choosing is no love. And I think if we want to take this, it's so clever. You see, we always say you have to give up. You have to give. No? When you're a couple, you have to give. That everybody, every consultant tells you. He says no. It's not giving. It's connecting and sharing.
It's contributing.
It's not even contributing. It says even better. It's sharing and connecting. In other words, taking my opinion, my side, and put it together with the other side, which makes me with a double power. And you should always let the other side have his own privacy. You cannot take this. On the contrary, you have to keep your independence, your opinion. That's why you are a human being. You cannot take it from the other side. Each one of the side has to keep it. and use it to contribute to each other. In life, it's very easy. This professor came into the class. 1 minute. What do you see on this page?
A dot.
What color is the dot?
Black.
Black. Okay? That's what you see. There is a dot on the page. The professor did it, and everybody said what you said. We see a black dot. And he asked them, why don't you see the whole page? The whole page is white. You see only the black dot. And how true it is. It's very easy to see the black, the wrong, in the other side. But look at the white side. Not only talking about a couple. In life, we always see the defects. We don't see the good. And if somebody did all those good things, and one day he did a mistake, oh, finished! All the good he did is forgotten. We don't see the white. We see only this. And did you see how small is this dot?
Yes.
But everybody saw it.
Yes.
Because that's what we see. And none of the students of this professor said, we see a white page with a small black dot. No, we see a black dot. And that's exactly the idea. That's the way to look at things. It's not, don't look at the black dot. Look at the white part. At the big picture. And looking at the big picture, one of the things that we have to look now is how do we prepare ourselves to the Seder night? How would we have a Seder night that is going to be something to remember? And every year we come to this point and we give certain ideas. So for example, what I showed you now, this thought, you can also use it in Seder night and you can do with it whatever you want. For example, I did, in order to do it a long thing and to make people think that the thing that you want to show them is really the black dot, so you can two pictures with a big circle, a small circle, and you can play around with it. You can ask people, what do you see? And you can do some pages with 4 dots, 5 dots, 6 dots. I don't know where are the pages I did with a few dots. I don't know where they are.
They were there.
Oh, yeah, I also saw them a minute ago. Here, for example. And then people, really, but the only thing they look is what?
The dots.
The dots. And this is in order to, sometimes you have clever people, so in order to not take any chances, but believe me, normally, the way I use it, it always works.
Yeah.
But if you want, like this way, you can also make it a little longer. And then you show them this. And of course, what everybody's going to say?
That?
I see a black dot. And that's exactly the whole idea also of Yetziat Mitzrayim. When you look at Yetziat Mitzrayim, getting out of Egypt, the redemption. So, a lot of time, we think about those years we were in Egypt as a terrible thing. And Baruch Hashem, thank God, we sit the whole night and tell about Yetziat Mitzrayim. But Yetziat Mitzrayim is not only talking about us getting out of Egypt from slavery. It's to understand the whole picture. Not only this small dot that God took us out of Egypt of the troubles. To understand the whole idea of getting out of Egypt. The whole idea of the slavery in Egypt is a part of building Am Yisrael. Because without us being in Egypt, there was no Am Yisrael. Because this was the training of gathering together from a group of 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob that had grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and make them not to tribes, but to make them to a nation. That's why Pesach is really the reborn of Am Yisrael. Because in Pesach, Am Yisrael was born. That's the whole idea of the Seder night. And we should explain to people, it's not only a small dot of getting out of Egypt or the misery we had in Egypt. It's to understand that the whole story. And the more we tell the story, the more we understand how important this whole procedure was. In other words, when we say we should bless the bad times the same way as we bless the good times, that's the meaning of it. To understand that really at the end of the day there are no bad times, because everything is from God, and God wants us to be, to have good life. But in order sometimes to get good life, we have to get educated. We have to get trained in order to be the soldiers of God. And we all know that those training also, not everybody went out of Egypt. He says the Hamushim Yatsu, only 20% came out. 80% stayed in Egypt. And this brings us to the big question in the Haggadah. When we talk in the Haggadah about the four sons, Ba'arba'a banim dibra Torah. And when we talk about those four sons, sometimes we don't realize that those four sons include the Russia. Russia, we say to him, ואפתה אקהה שינה, ואמור לו, בעבור זה עשה אשר לי בצאתי מצרים, לי ולא לו, אילו היה שם לא הנהג. For me and not for him, you imply that if he had been there, he would not have been redeemed. In other words, how do we look at the Russia? Do we want him on the Seder night, or we don't want him?
Want
him. Here we are.
Want everybody.
So why do we answer in this way?
It's always hope that there'll be the hinterling inside.
And what is the difference between the question he is asking and the Chacham is asking? The clever one is asking. What is the difference? The wise son, what does he say? מה העדות והחוקים והמשפטים אשר ציווה השם אלוקינו אתכם? What are all those rules that God told you to do? And here you say, ואף הטיים אור, and you tell him, אין מפתירים אחר הפסח אפיקומן. Which is also a question, what is אין מפתירה אחר הפסח אפיקומן? But let's see what the Russia is saying. מה העבודה הזאת לכם? What is this work to you? לכם ולא, he says, to you and not to me. ולפי שהוציא את עצמו מן הכלל, because he took himself out of the כלל, of the congregation, of the people, כפר בעיקר, he is a כופר. ואף אתה הכה את שיניו, and you also should giving in his teeth. What's the difference between what the Chacham is saying and what the Rasha is saying? Both of them are really saying, what is this? What are you doing here?
Because supposedly the Chacham is saying it out of love to really understand. And the Russia is saying, see what it is? What are you telling me with all the problems?
But the Russia also takes himself out of it. It's not part of it.
What is the Chacham saying? He says, what are the testimonies, Chukim, and status that Hashem, our God, commanded you.
He also takes himself.
What's the difference?
You instead of us.
So is this exactly what the Rasha is saying?
Yeah.
What's the difference? What is the difference? I tell you what the
difference
is.
The difference is the intent of the individual.
Where do you see it?
But you don't see it.
You don't see it.
In a minute you'll see it. You will see it in a minute. It's written. You don't have to go so far. It's written very clearly here. Listen again. What is he saying? What are the testimonies, chukim, and status that Hashem, our God. What is the Rasha saying? What is this service to you?
He's not part of it, it's to you.
And here he is a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, our God.
Yeah.
This God.